Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Yes, indeed, it is the Get Right right here on 105.3 The Fan. My name is Reginald Datatula, joined alongside by the three-time Hall of Famer Chris Arnold.
Got you down.
We got Ross Lubinsky on the ones and twos, and you rolling with us on a Monday evening in the Metroplex. The number to text is the Franco Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. You can always get involved with the program by doing that. We always want you to get involved with the program by doing that. You can also catch us on a few streaming platforms, youtube.com/105 through the fan, or you can go to twitch.tv/DallasFanCamp. Both of those are available to you. CA, how you living, my man?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here. It's going to be a great day, and we're going to have a lot of fun tonight on the Get Right.
We
do. We're going to get everybody right.
That's right. We got 4 hours of fun programming coming for you tonight, including we're trying to give you updates as, you know, it is an active evening in the Metroplex in playoff fashion as your Dallas Stars get these things started against the Las Vegas Golden Knights, the reigning Stanley Cup playoff champions. And so you have an opportunity to really make a statement as the best in the West in game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs for you in the first round. This is a matchup that not everybody wanted necessarily, and so we'll talk and preview it with the Hockey Hawk himself, Gavin Spittle, at 7:20. And then also, you know, we're trying to get ready for, I don't know, this one HR meeting thing that's happening this week. It's called the NFL Draft. So there's a lot of things to handle. We'll do all of that over the course of the show. But let's start with some other playoff business. As your Dallas Mavericks had game one in their first round series of the NBA playoffs in Los Angeles, Crypto.com Arena against the Los Angeles Clippers, where they fall 109-97. And so how about we do this? What's real and what's faux about game one Mavs-Clippers, 877-881-1053?
When you say faux, you're talking about F-A-U-X?
That's right.
Okay.
What did you think it might be otherwise?
Some people ball up their fists. Friend or foe.
Fair enough.
I love that, though.
Okay, CA, I like to give you first dibs here because you being the OG, you covering this team a lot. What about that game did you immediately go, oh, that's a real thing that we have concern about or think about or talk about? Or, nah, that's not real. That's chaff. We can weed that out.
The fact that Zubac got off. Zubac normally is barbecue chicken in the hands of Luka Doncic in the playoffs. The last couple of times they met in the playoffs. Zubac's, of course, the center for the Clippers. He dominated that game.
He sure did.
And I think that's part of the reason they started so badly. I mean, literally, they scored 8 points in the second quarter. They weren't looking even that good in the first quarter. I think what they were trying to do, you know, and he also got Daniel Gafford into foul trouble immediately.
He sure did.
And then Gafford hurt his knee and had to sit down too. Again, he became a bigger player than anyone expected in this series. Normally, he gets a couple of fouls real quick, and he's on the bench. That's what barbecue chicken time is for the Mavericks when Zubac's on the floor for the Clippers in the playoffs. But what he's affecting, right now, and this is why you got to play chess. You got to figure out how to get him on the bench, or you got to get him out on the perimeter. And that's why in the second half, you were seeing a lot of Maxi Kleber, even though Maxi was having a terrible game. It's like, okay, maybe Maxi can draw him out on the perimeter, which he did not do. Zubac, like I said, had 20-something points. I mean, in the first half, I think he outscored Kyrie and Luka. Luka and Kyrie in the first quarter weren't doing anything. Second half, Mavericks started looking more like themselves. First, by the way, them 8 points in the second quarter, that's the lowest number of points the Mavericks as a franchise have ever scored in a playoff game. And I don't see that happen again. But Zubac is something you better watch out for.
Yeah, I think you're right there. The Ivica Zubac is that level of play is real. I didn't see it coming. Don't get me wrong. Nobody I was like, oh, my bad. Like, you know, the Shaq meme. Mm-hmm. I was unfamiliar with your game. Yeah. Right? Like, that's how I felt watching Ivica Zubac with this, because he was taking what is a sizable team and a team that's played physically strong in your Mavericks over the last couple months of the season. And he was putting everyone into the basket. He backed Daniel Gafford down back into the basket. He backed Lively back in the basket. Maxi Kleber got put in the basket, right? And I think that was surprising to me, but it's
surprising to them too.
It shouldn't have been necessarily, because that is who Ivica Zubac is, and that's one of the reasons why when you've been able to play him off the floor, it's been effective, because he does give you something. And if you look at the way that the Clippers have played this season, that has been a benefit for them, getting him active, getting him involved. I didn't think to the point of 20 and 15 right. would be what, but that is something that they're going to have to contend with. And I think you saw in the second half where the Mavericks were able to answer the challenge late. No, don't get me wrong. They answered the challenge late, and thus it was too late to give you a win in this game. But that's the difference in a 7-game series, is that now you can't afford to wait. You got to get this going right now. And they started doing that. I think that physicality needs to continue, because what you saw very early on is the physicality, particularly from Zubac, but from the rest of the Clippers team, that's going
to
be there.
Yeah, Zubac even got a technical over there trying to break Maxi Kleber's arm. But here's the other part of what he did. Defensively, not only was he physical and got them 15 rebounds and 20 points, this dude, he affected the Mavericks' lob game. Where, you know, you just throw the ball over the rim and Lively or Gafford, they dunk it. I think Gafford and Lively had one dunk each in the first half. That's how many they had, because Zubac was a factor. He was denying that part of Luka's game. Kyrie tried to do that too. It was not working. And part of the reason why the Mavericks weren't playing so well in the first half was they were bricking like a mofo. Meanwhile, the Clippers were shooting the lights out of 3-point. That might be one of your next topics. I'm going to stop right there.
No, you're right. Like, we're playing this by ear. Really flowing around. But yes, absolutely. Like, the shot making was the first thing that came to mind. Exactly. I do not think that you're going to see Kyrie and Luka shoot nearly as poorly as they did in this game. It was incredible to see it that way. But also, I think that there is some real within the foe, right? You had Luka Doncic shoot 4 of 12 from deep on. He's been an improved shooter this season.
He started off 1 out of 7.
Yes, he did.
That's how bad it was.
And Kyrie, I mean, his numbers look okay, but if you watch that game early on, it was not good. He just went on a tear in the third quarter. I do think that there is something to be said for when it comes to Luka in particular. Hey, I know you love that step back. They're giving you that step back. Mm-hmm. Go take some stuff. And you saw in the third quarter with that immediately out of half.
Wasn't aggressive.
The aggressive nature of getting downhill. Now, there was a couple smoked bunnies here and there. That's all the way around the team. But getting down, getting to the basket, and enforcing your will, because he has that strength and he has that wily nature to be able to get in there. He needs to use that, because the step back is going to be there sometimes. Don't get me wrong. He's an incredible shooter. In fact, it was the biggest moment, or the early big moment that he had in the bubble, with that step back three in double overtime.
Bang, bang, bang.
But you can't lean on that. You got to be aggressive as well.
Exactly. And the shooting again, let's go back to this. The Mavericks, before the big trade, if they didn't make their shots, they lost the game. And it was usually like 140 to 128 or something. What we were expecting when they won 18 or 16 of the last 18 games, number one defense in the NBA since that trade deadline, was you're expecting, okay, if they're not shooting, then the defense will step up. Well, here was the problem. Luka and Kyrie were missing everything in the first half, but nobody else was scoring at all in the first half. Luka and Kyrie finished with 33 for Luka and 31 for Kyrie, respectively. Here's what they did do in the third quarter. Now, mind you, at this point, you could arguably say that the Clippers took their foot off the gas because they had a 29-point lead. But that's what Kyrie did. He became the first player in NBA history to score 20 points in one quarter without missing a shot. Nobody done that in history. We're talking about NBA history, not the 21st century, not a Maverick player doing it, not, we're talking about anybody. Jordan didn't even do that. Nope. Wilt didn't even do that. So back to Luka. Luka scored 22 points himself in the third quarter.
Yeah.
So basically they're trying to bring him back, but it was too late at that point. Where I'm going to balance this thing off is in the first half, when the Mavericks shooting 28% from three, the Clippers hitting over 50% for three, led by James Harden, who turned back the clock 10 years. James Harden actually made 7 threes in this game, the most he'd ever made in a playoff game in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He's also, by the way, show you, well, it's not that hard. Yeah, it is. For him, he's been to 15 consecutive years of playoffs. Nobody's doing that right now. Only James Harden has been there. But the good part for the Mavericks to look out for is this. Second half, he wasn't shooting that much, but he didn't have to. But you know what his history is. He doesn't do that over and over again like he used to. Them legs give out. He kind of defers a little bit. He doesn't get the calls he usually gets. If you look up his stats individually over the last 5 years, in the game one stats, he scores a lot. Game two, I put this on G-Bag of the Year, he diss a freaking Pierce.
Look, I'm going to lean on that interpretation because one thing about it is, especially this year, Harden, when he is knocking down threes, is like that.
Yes,
and I think
is.
This goes further because we had someone on the text line from the 817 that said, they're not going to shoot this same way. They're not going to shoot 50% from three again. I hear what you're saying there. However, it's worth noting that the Clippers are one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league this year.
Yeah, they don't have to be him. It could be Mann. It could be Terrence Mann doing it.
And I think that's one of the things that this is a real thing that I'm thinking about. I don't know if it's going to be the, like, I don't know if it's going to be the downfall or an Achilles heel of the Mavericks, but the Mavericks do allow a lot of corner threes.
Yes.
And for a team that shoots the ball well, particularly with stashing some of the likes, sometimes Paul George will end up in the corner. Terrence Mann, mm-hmm. Norm Powell is a guy who did not really do much in this game, and he has the capability of doing that, mm-hmm. right? Those guys will stand in the corner, and you saw them get to those three-point shots in the corner a decent amount and knock them down a pretty good amount. In fact, Russell Westbrook knocked down a corner three in this one.
Yes, I think he had two threes.
That's going to be something interesting to watch, and I do think that some of that is a thing that the Mavs willingly give up because what they're trying to stop is getting to the middle of the paint,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
They're crashing
in the drives. And also, they had their hands full with Zubac. If Zubac wasn't scoring at will and grabbing his own rebound, that was, I'm like, he was grabbing crazy rebounds. So they were trying to combat that, which was leaving the perimeter pretty much wide open, except for Paul George in the second half. Paul George was even talking about after the game saying, they wouldn't let me get nothing. All I could do was try to drive.
Yes, and that's a good thing, but I'm going to be watching that space when it
yes,
comes
watch
down
those corners for
to
sure.
those corners because that's an empty space that I was anticipating going into that, and it showed up even bigger than I thought.
It showed up bigger because guess what? Every time the Mavericks looked like they were going to try to get back into it, it hit a corner three. It wasn't just a three, it was a corner three. So keep an eye on that. Another, what did you call it, or foe?
Oh, foe?
Real or foe?
Yeah.
Okay. Real or foe, they're going to be people who want to do a chess match with Jason Kidd and Ty Lue, and it should be a
Correct.
Chess match. But do not think it's lopsided. Do not think. Don't let the toxic Twitter fans who just want to run off coaches, and every coach is the lightning rod when fans are not happy or media members are not happy. In fact, like I said, crickets while the Mavericks were rolling, right? The crickets from March through April. Lose game. Oh! Jay Kidd's got to go. And he knows this. But you cannot deny what he did in the matchups and the strategies as they ran through the Western Conference. And yes, beat the Phoenix Suns in Game 7 on their own home court by like 20 or 30 points. You got to know that he can pull that out of his hat. He's done it before. Just look up Jay Kidd's history. But also, do not think that Ty Lue, this is one done. He's notoriously good at the chess match. So this is an even chess match. This is not lopsided. That's my real or faux. Anybody think it's faux? Oh, this is not. It's one-sided. No, that's faux. If you think that,
yeah,
and it's not all in favor of Jason Kidd either.
Right, and I think that's going to be an interesting space because I've often believed this, even if I haven't often said it out loud, and maybe that's my fault for not, especially going into this series. Ty Lue is a problem when it comes to
yes,
coaching.
Yes, he is.
As evidenced by after every timeout, it felt like they had a good look coming out of timeout, and that's something that you can really attribute to the coaching. And one thing about him is when you talk about the chess match of it, he's not the coach that has a good idea and then like shoots his gun
decisions.
Early, and then over the course of the series, you have nothing more. he intentionally builds things in to have in his pocket to pull out later. So this is going to be a challenge for Jason Kidd. And I do say challenge. I don't necessarily mean that it's going to be his downfall, but this is he's going to have to speak to this in that same way. He's going to have a tete-a-tete of sorts in this. And so Jason Kidd is going to have adjustments available. And Jason Kidd likes playing it coy. I listened to his post-game comments. He's, you know, we got to play tough and we got to play better. And he's absolutely right in that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they need to play physically sound. Like, sometimes we need to play better sounds like just coach speak. I think you can visibly see the physicality change between the first and second half. And when he talks about we need to play tougher, that shows up. But I'm interested to see what tweaks are made, especially when you saw the Mavericks play nine players in this, right? The wide lineup and rotation. Yeah. We know that Kidd likes that. I'm interested in seeing how quickly he refines that down to seeing the players who can play and the players who can't in this series or in these moments, because of course different series call for different things, but this circles me back around to one thing that I want to talk about. We talked about shot making.
Can I say something about that?
Please
that,
do.
The lineups, because that's something to think about as well. I don't know if he's going to go that wide like he did this last game yesterday. And the reason I say that, and that's why I'm saying if it's real or faux, I think what you saw was maybe faux, because Kyrie worked his ass off in the third quarter to help try to bring them back and make this game a possible, you know, comeback.
He sure
get
did,
down
yeah.
to 12 points. That's only four threes, right? Four shots. And so at some point, he had to put in Josh Green. And I don't think he was expecting to put in Josh Green, but he had to kind of rest up his guys. And you know, the junk minutes at the very end for the guys who weren't supposed to play at all, we're not even including them. I think that Maxi Kleber, he was definitely going to use him, but maybe not as many minutes. I think this Zubat thing forced his hand, because Zubat was not having to guard the perimeter. And he was hoping Maxi would force him to. Maxi didn't try to shoot it. He wasn't even a deer in the headlight.
And I think that's a great point that actually brings me where I want to go is your others have to knock down shots.
Yes, they do.
We were talking about
we did
a segment talking about what's different when it comes to regular season NBA basketball and playoff basketball. And this was based off of conversations between J.J. Redick and LeBron James. J.J. Redick mentioned this point that I think I hammered pretty hard, which was everybody gets treated like a first option, right, when it comes to playing defense. Everybody will be treated like a first option. And for first option players like Luke and Kyrie, you expect them to show up. And of course, this was a game in which the shots didn't go, so that affected this. But they will show up more often than not. And I'd venture to say 99% of the times. However, when the likes of PJ Washington and Dante Exum and Derrick Jones Jr. are getting that type of pressure, they need to knock down shots. Especially understanding that the Clippers are going to, you know, say, we're going to double, we're going to double Kyrie. We're going to make it tough on Luka. We're going to show him bodies. So what he's going to have is kicks out to them. They're going to need to knock down shots on those kickouts. In addition to that, they're probably going to need to put the ball on the ground and make some things happen.
They're
going
to have to drive the paint. In fact, Kidd likes to say they got to touch the paint. And Derek Lively Jr., Derek Lively the second, and Derrick Jones Jr. and P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford are all going to have to get above the rim, be athletic as they were the last couple of months. They cannot be invisible. They have to show up. They cannot diss a freaking peer. They've got to be there because, you know, that's what they did to overcome the five losses in six games when everybody was losing their minds, and they show what kind of team they are. If they never went through that adversity, I would think, oh, this is the first time this team is facing adversity. They will never be able to respond. What they're hoping to do is to get a split. And let me explain the split real quick.
Yes.
If a team goes 2-0 in the NBA playoffs, they win the series 92% of the time.
Yeah, that's a lot of the times.
That's a lot of the times. It's not impossible, but most teams that start series on the road, they're trying to get the split. Every team so far this weekend, every home team won. Every road team lost. So if you thought the Mavericks were supposed to win, I'm not saying should win or could win. I'm talking about supposed to win. You're wrong. And if you think, well, no Kawhi, they should be able to win. Not necessarily. If you were disappointed in the way they played, I'm with you. And they're with them. They're with you too. Because how do you expect to win if you play like that?
Right.
But the good news is they're capable of better. And the Clippers are capable of worse.
They are, and one of the things that I guess could be a solace is in the ways that the Clippers have been talking, they have not sounded like there's a level of urgency in Kawhi Leonard playing in the series. There's still hope, But it's not from a place of urgency, yeah. which makes it seem like you're not seeing him exactly. tomorrow.
I think this is just strategy, them saying, well, he might play.
Right. We've seen this happen before, and literally just last
thing
year.
About, notice one thing about Kawhi. Kawhi does not play unless he's 100% asked the Spurs.
And so we'll see how that goes. But as of right now, I wouldn't put. I don't even think of him playing until Friday back
at the
back here in the DFW. And so there is still some option there. But those are some of the real and faux things that we feel in Mavs Clippers game one, game two to happen tomorrow. It'll be relatively
late,
9 o'clock here.
Supposedly, depending on how the games end, right?
Right. And that'll be, I believe that's a TNT game as well. Correct.
Probably
and then
Tuesday night. Yeah.
That is
ESPN. TNT's got the West Coast.
I believe that is the way that goes. But appreciate you rocking with us here on the Get Right, right here on 105.3 The Fan. All sorts of things happening. Your Stars should drop the puck later this evening. Don't get me lying on what time it'll happen as they are on the back end of this ESPN
game. Damn near 9 o'clock, my guess.
Boston Bruins lead the Toronto Maple Leafs 2-1. They lead that series 1-0, mind you. So we're waiting on that one to end before your Stars get going at the AAC to start against the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's do a little bit of preview for that game by talking to the Hockey Hawk himself, the host of the Spencer Suss
yes.
podcast, our guy, Gavin Spittle. And we'll do that next on 105.3 The Fan. So Get Right right here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Dattatulli here with you alongside the three-time Hall of Famer Chris Arnold.
Got you down.
Thanks for rolling with us on this Monday evening in the DFW. Hope you're having a good one on a lovely day outside, a lovely Earth Day. Happy Earth Day to everybody out there. And I guess happy Earth Day to this man in particular as we are getting you ready for puck drop on game one of Stars
Woo-hoo.
Golden Knights. It'll be going on, obviously, at the AAC, the home barn, as I believe that it is called. And so, happy Earth Day to our guy, host of the Spits and Suds podcast. He's the Hockey Hawk, and he may or may not sign my paychecks. His name is Gavin Spittle. Gavin, what's happening?
Stick Tap Boys, yeah, here we go. The barn is officially opened. The AAC is open for business, loud and proud tonight,
nice.
Boys.
Nice.
Absolutely. All right. So let's actually start there. I'm always intrigued by, you know, what, especially for you, someone who really loves hockey and gets out there. Like, how impressive is the AAC when it gets going on a major hockey game?
Yeah, I think it's opposing players, Reggie, have said that it is a very tough building to play.
Oh, good.
It's just the locals have to give you a reason to cheer. So I think that's the reason. Among many that the Stars should come out flying tonight, because when they're aggressive and when they make big plays, this fan base is totally into it. And it ramps up even more as someone who's been to a lot of playoff games. It's a great barn. It's loud. It's proud. This is when you get your diehards in there. People have been waiting for this probably for the last month and a half. So now it's happening and we can finally see, can this team take the next step from the finals Western Conference and, you know, make it to the Stanley Cup. So it's exciting. I think that's where the expectations are high, and that's a beautiful thing. When the expectations are high for your team, that means you're rolling. They won the Central. They're number one seed in the West. So yeah, expectations are going to be high.
Is this the toughest competition they could face in the playoffs this year? And I'm saying this because of the setup, which is The Golden Knights are your defending Stanley Cup champions. They're trying to defend this thing. Even though the Stars had the best record in the Western Conference, this is a rematch of the Western Conference Finals from last year. But during the regular season, the Stars got owned by the Golden Knights. They never won a game. It was 3-0.
Yeah, I think when you look back at those games, a few of them went to overtime, and they were close.
Mm-hmm.
And that is prior to the arrival of Chris Tanev.
Ding, ding, ding,
and
ding.
Analytics will show you that the goals against are down, the save percentages are up. So many defensive categories the Stars moved up in upon the arrival of Chris Tanev. You look at a Ryan Suter, for example, who was a first line pairing in the playoffs last year with Miro Heiskanen. He's now a third line defensive pairing. That's how deep they are now as far as defensively. So, I think one of the things that is on Stars fans' mind is that stylistically, this is not the ideal matchup. Would have been much better against the Kings. However, you have to play who's in front of you. As the great Ric Flair says, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yeah.
Woo. And woo. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, Vegas is in front of you. I think the narrative based on them winning the Stanley Cup is the following, like, wow, tough draw for the Stars. Oh, Stars. But, you know, even watching like Vegas fans come out the other night, they weren't particularly worried about the Dallas Stars.
Mm.
The Dallas Stars should be one of the more worrisome teams in this NHL playoffs.
Dangerous.
Because they run three lines deep. Their fourth line can score. Their defensive pairings are as deep as they have been. This is as deep a team as I've seen since the 99 Cup run. Mm. They have a goalie who is among the elite, who is playing elite right now. So let's flip the script. Vegas should be worried about the Stars. And oh, by the way, Vegas is throwing out a lineup tonight that has not played with each other.
Look out.
And that to me is fascinating in itself. A lot of people say like, okay, Mark Stone's coming back.
Right.
Trangelo, who's their quarterback defensively, he's coming back. And that's great. And that's all the more reason for the Stars to be aggressive and apply pressure, because these guys have not played in games. And there's a next level when you play in games. You can practice all day long, but when you get game ready, you have to play in some games. That's why it was important that Dadonov was in the other night for that final game, because, you know, now he feels ready for the game.
Boss man, you're doing such a great job hitting all these points. You're hitting all the points that I wanted to ask you about. But let's assume that, you know, the rust of this does not come up, as you mentioned, very rightfully so, that this Golden Knights team has not really played together in the lines that they will. What does a returning Mark Stone with the captain C on his chest? What does that change in the way that the Golden Knights go about attacking you?
Yeah, absolutely, Reg. Great question. And what it changes is the attitude of the team, because this is a team that had an opportunity to be the third seed the other day and lost to Anaheim. You're getting your captain back in the room. So when younger players or players in Vegas all of a sudden see the captain dressing up and they see their quarterback and Pietrangelo and Carrier and others getting dressed, they say, okay, here we go again. Here's another cup run in the making. And there's a lot of pride with hockey players. And these weren't, I'll just say this. I'm not defending Vegas, because a lot of people are upset that these players can all of a sudden come back when the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. But we're dealing with a spleen injury. Mm. We're dealing with an appendectomy. Mm. So, you know, I think that, sure, it might be convenient that they're back. However, it wasn't like the typical lower body, upper body. These guys, you know, tough injuries, and for them to come back. So I think that Vegas should have a lot of confidence. And defensively, now they're going to be a lot better. They're kind of very aggressive on the forecheck. They will try to establish physicality, and they will want to cause the Stars to make mistakes. How the Stars handle themselves in the defensive zone is going to be the key to this series, because we all saw last year that the defensemen really struggled with physicality and struggled at times, you know, with that Vegas forecheck. If they can break that wall and utilize their speed, they can win this series. They should win this series.
I tell you what, you set that up perfectly, and that's why they brought in Haney. That's why they fortified this roster defensively. It's kind of like what the Mavericks did when they added some defense and some guys that can bang. With that being said, you got eight guys with 20 goals. They got 20 goal scores. That's part of that depth. But I want to talk about Otter and the depth in goal. Talk about what that rotation looks like this year compared to last year, and the fact that Otter's hot right now over the last 6 weeks.
Oh, it's Otter for good now. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they go to Wedgewood, then this series is in trouble.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, that means he's their guy.
But what if Otter's hurt?
Guy. What's that?
But what if Otter's hurt? Don't you feel confident
well, then they
that
go
Wedgwood,
to Wedgwood
can handle it?
And I think Wedgwood's a very capable backup. And then they have Matt Murray as well,
mm-hmm.
Who's played in some NHL games. So, I mean, I think it all comes down to goaltending. So it's one of those things where if you lose your top goaltender, then sure, you could be in trouble. I mean, Wedgwood can steal you games. He's a veteran NHL goalie with experience. I'm just making the point where, you know, you want the best of the best right. out there. If mm-hmm. Otter did get hurt, then you have Scott Wedgwood. So you do have some depth. He's a very adequate backup goaltender who's had an outstanding year for them. We'll get a nice pay raise in the offseason, whether it's from the Stars or from another team. But Otter's your man right now.
And he's hot.
All right, before we let you go here, Hockey Hawk, I personally really hate trying to pretend like I have a crystal ball and do predictions because, look, we try and be informed, but we can't know the future. And so I will do the thing where I make you do the thing that I absolutely hate. How does game one play out this evening, and what do you think the final ultimately looks like?
Yeah, I'm not trying to avoid the question, Reggie.
This is a perfectly me move. I like this.
I do like this season going six or seven, this series going six or seven games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they lose tonight, it's not the end of the world because I think they can take a game in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if I have to make a prediction, I don't see why the Stars shouldn't win. I've gone through the matchups. I hate playing Vegas. I don't think stylistically it works. I can't say that enough.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, at some point, you have to say we're the better overall team. And that's why I made the prediction with the Dallas Stars, because they are the better overall team. And there are high expectations, but they need to meet those expectations. The only thing that worries me, Reggie, in this series is the Stars at times come out to slow starts. And
yeah.
You cannot that mm-hmm. in this series. They have to come out with aggression. They have to match physicality. And they have to stay out of the penalty box. So those are keys to this series, but I like the Stars in this series to move on.
Do you see an X factor other than Otter, Wyatt Johnson or Jamie Benn, somebody that could surprise Vegas this time? Or even Jason Robertson?
Jason Robertson to me is one of the keys.
Yeah.
He hasn't been the greatest, in the last 2 years of playoffs. He's fine, but, hasn't taken that next step. So I would say Jason Robertson is certainly a key. One of the factors as well is look at the faceoff percentage, Chris, at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when Dallas is dominant, which they have been throughout the year with faceoff percentage, that equals time of possession with the puck.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can win a lot of faceoffs against Vegas, that means more zone time for them. So I think that's a key. Obviously for Vegas, you hear about the Stone, you hear about the Pietrangelo, but Jonathan Marchessault is a player that comes up big for them in the playoffs. So keep an eye on him. And then the goalie situation for Vegas. Listen, the guy that took them to the cup last year is not playing tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's based mm-hmm. on performance, giving up 16 goals in his last mm-hmm. five mm-hmm. games. So we'll see a goalie change for game one. That's pretty rare. So once again, pucks on net. I know that's a generic term in hockey, but you gotta put pressure on them.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and throw out my generic 7 goals will win it here. Appreciate you. Gavin Spittle, the Hockey Hawk, host of the Spits and Suds podcast. You can get that anywhere that your fine podcast can be gotten. We always appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time.
Yeah, thanks, Gavin.
Thanks, boys. I'm excited, and I'm super excited that DFW is getting behind this team. It's awesome.
Woo-hoo. Absolutely.
Go Stars.
Soon to be City of Champions, DFW. Don't forget mm-hmm. that. So get right here on 105.3 The Fan. Before the Stars drop the puck, we have to get through Bruins, Maple Leafs. That one is 2-1 in favor of Boston right now in the second period, about 5 minutes left in that second period. Boston looking to try and go up 2-0 in that series. And in basketball terms, Cleveland with a nice big lead over Orlando in the NBA TV series of the first round. And the Philly 76ers, after having a little bit of questions on whether their big two players would play, they are playing, and they do have a 5-point lead.
Yeah, Tyrese Maxey's in there.
That's right.
South Garland's own.
At the half, it looks like they'll go in with a little bit of a lead, although Jalen Brunson wants to narrow that down a little bit. Get right here at 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL as we typically do at this time. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So get right here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Atatula here with you alongside the 3-time Hall of Famer Chris Arnold.
Got you down. Real quick.
What's that?
Can I ask Ross, do he know who's playing guitar on this song?
Man, you're just going to give me a layup like that? This is Eric Clapton, baby.
Yes, it is. Can you name the song?
Well, it's cheating a little bit because it's listed right in front of me, but it's
Layla. You didn't have to say all that. Just take the layup, dog.
But that would be dishonorable.
That's not the name of the song.
Layla. Isn't it based off of... Wasn't it written about the girl who dated both him and George Harrison? Isn't that the shtick?
I'm not sure about that. I do know that he started going out with George Harrison's wife.
Yeah, and that's what I do remember. Yeah, a girl got something and Layla written about her. That's quite a combo.
It was quite a surprise. But we digress. Back to the show.
Oh, that's right. No, I was appreciating the moment.
Get some knowledge every now and then from out of nowhere.
That's right. That's right. It has been a particular day for me for reasons.
I have met him. That's
ideas.
The CA Stories Confidential. I have met Eric Clapton at a nightclub in Dallas.
I don't know if you're going to do that for CA Stories Confidential tonight. I just need to hear that story. So whether it's on air or off air, I just want to make that clear. Right now, though, as currently Boston is up 2-1 on Toronto in the hockey, and I believe the Sixers lead. They currently lead the Knicks 53-49 at halftime. Those are the things that are happening right now. But let's dig into around the NFL here on the Get Right on 105.3 The Fan. And we begin with a trade in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
There has been a little bit of player movement on this Monday. I guess earlier on Monday. I believe that was like afternoon, technically. Yeah, midday, somewhere around there. As Zach Wilson, apparently the Broncos decided you can't have a football team without a quarterback named Wilson. So they will make a trade to acquire the former number 2 overall pick for the New York Jets. Zach Wilson will make his way to the Denver Broncos, and he will join a quarterback room that already had Jarrett Stidham, and it had a name that you might be familiar with, Ben DiNucci. And so now they will add Zach Wilson.
Are you trying to say there's MILFs in them Rocky Mountains?
I imagine that there are. I feel like
that's
there are.
That's why he approved them.
Those will exist anywhere in the world. Would there be a place that's devoid of such things?
As devoid, I don't know. But man, let me tell you what. He was in a good spot in college at BYU.
Low key MILFs.
Okay, very good. I'm not touching any of that. I want it to be very apparent. that if anybody has to, you realize we just had the boss on like 10 minutes ago at
he's headed to the hockey game.
Okay,
he's
all right. I guess. Very good.
He's
but
indoors.
Yes.
He's inside the AAC.
I sure hope so.
You can hear the tapes later.
Well, I mean, if he's headed to the AAC, wouldn't he have the radio on?
I mean, walking.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Yeah, he's very, very earth friendly on this Earth Day. That's
yes,
right.
He's walking from the parking lot to the building.
That's right. But the Jets.
He's going by the Mike Modano statue as we speak.
The Jets. You know, obviously the Zach Wilson thing clearly didn't work last year. And I imagine that was just like, we need him out of the building. You can't even have him in that place to where you need to turn to him if an injury happens. So he gets traded. The 2021 number two pick gets traded to the Broncos. Pennies on the dollar, basically. I believe it's a pick swap. So they'll get a 6th round pick. They'll send a 7th round pick and the Jets will eat a little bit of the money. I don't know if there is a particular question to ask
some
here.
Of the money?
Yes, I believe they're eating about $5 million of, they're splitting the $5.5 million that he's due this year. So each team will pay $2.75 million. Thoughts is my question, CA.
My thoughts are this dude made all that first round money off of a pro day, because that's what it was. His pro day got him picked high. One pro day.
I mean, he was pretty nice in college as well, but yes, the pro day and the big
that pushed him in the first round.
It was that big like across the body throw, and as we head into the draft, it's a reminder that hey, don't let that one throw fool you.
Exactly.
Don't let that one little clip fool you. It can get you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that there goes Zach Wilson. And with that, a little bit of a note, we mentioned the 2021 draft class. 5 first-round quarterbacks in that draft class with this trade. Only one remains on the team that he started with, CA. Do you remember who that quarterback is? It should be fairly easy. He was the number one pick. Yes, Trevor Lawrence remains with the Jaguars, but Zach Wilson now traded from the Jets to the Broncos. Trey Lance, you remember, was the third pick. Mm-hmm. Traded clearly from the Niners to these Cowboys before last year started.
Last August.
And Justin Fields.
Yep.
Just recently traded from the Bears to the Steelers. Mac Jones just really recently traded from the Patriots to the Jaguars. So, yeah.
By the way, Dak Prescott, the only quarterback remaining with his original team in 2016, too.
There you go. And so I think a reminder that, I mean, even when there's these big draft classes with a lot of quarterbacks, it doesn't always mean that all of them are going to hit or even like a decent amount of them are going to hit. As in that class,
exactly.
You got one as of right now that is a yes.
And that's because the expectation sometimes just is not realistic. In other words, sometimes ask a Jordan Love. You might want to sit a year or two. You just might. Even though you have the skill set, you pass the quarterback IQ test, all those different things, sometimes it just doesn't, you don't need to be thrown to the fire immediately. Everybody's not able to handle that off the bat. And some of them can get ruined and some of them just don't need to be where they start out. There's a lot of intangibles there, but the problem, the consistent fact with all of them is the high expectation level. Can they meet it or will it hamper them? Will it burden them?
As we continue around the NFL, I'm sure this will be shocking to everyone who hears this, as the Kansas City Chiefs have decided to hand out some contract extensions to three important folks. Head
offensive
coach
lineman.
Andy Reid.
Oh, Andy Reid, okay.
General manager Brett Veach.
Well.
And president Mark Donovan.
As it should be.
I wonder why those guys get extensions. But yeah, all three agreed to contract extensions that will keep them with the Chiefs. Clark Hunt, who is the chairman of the Kansas City Chiefs, said, quote, Mark, Brett, and Andy have achieved historic success together, and we are thrilled that they will continue in their roles for many years to come. I mean, completely expected, right?
It is. The only thing about that is, will Andy Reid stick around for the end of his contract? It's not like he's going to get fired. He's not going to get fired. The question is, at his age and all that he's in, for the last couple of years, is Andy going to retire? But what else would he do? To me, he's one of those lifers. He's one of those coaches that's what he does. He's not gonna quit until he just can't coach no more.
Speaking of retiring, after 15 seasons, 4 Pro Bowls, and an MVP award in 15, I believe, 2015, former Atlanta Falcons and I guess technically Indianapolis Colts quarterback Matt Ryan officially announced his retirement today. Ended a career of a fairly durable player in Matt Ryan, but an interesting one nonetheless. He will officially retire as a Falcon, as it feels like he should. And he said, quote, so today, 16 years after being drafted, my childhood dream has officially come to end. And I'm honored to retire as a Falcon. Matt Ryan, Hall of Famer, quote, question mark.
Here's so wild. He was an MVP. He was a league MVP.
He sure was.
He had great stats. He went to a Super Bowl. Of course, they lost that. I blame Kyle Shanahan, not Dan Quinn, but I blame Kyle Shanahan for insisting to pass the ball instead of running the ball. But I've never been enamored with Matty Ice. I've always thought he had a great set of wide receivers. He had a running game. He had a good defense. I never thought that he was a great quarterback. So Hall of Fame, I just don't know. Pro Football Hall of Fame is not the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's basically a coin flick. If Darren Woods is not in yet, come on. I'm not even thinking of Matty Ice.
Yeah, I kind of tried to set you up here because I don't think Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer at all. No. 4 Pro Bowls, but only a one-time All-Pro, which was that year. Sorry, 2016 is the year that I was looking for. I said 15. My apologies. 2016 MVP. And, I mean, that's not going to be consistent. I mean, he was a consistently good quarterback, but not a great one.
Right.
In that way, except for that one year where, I mean, clearly Kyle Shanahan helped a good amount in crafting an offense that really yep. played to his strengths and allowed him to play to, I think, the highest that he had played in that. But I didn't feel like that was strong enough. But the thing that I love about Matt Ryan, he does not have to be a Hall of Famer to be beloved in that town of Atlanta,
oh, yeah.
which is why I found it weird that he went to Indianapolis. I understand you got to get an opportunity to go and try and make something shake, especially when it felt like the Falcons were in that play. But Falcons actually allowing him to go as they were trying to pursue, you remember at this time was they were trying to pursue Deshaun Watson. I thought that was a huge mistake because he uniquely helped stabilize that team after the scandal that was Michael Vick, and he yep. played there for a long time. He played well, and he embraced that community, and the community embraced him back. Like, he is going to be one of those guys that it doesn't matter if he's in the Hall of Fame or not. He is goated. He is beloved by that place in particular.
I agree.
So there you go. And real quick, before we go, nope, that was the one. That was the one that I wanted to get off off my chest. Let's see. Was there one more that I needed to get to? Nope, that was it. Oh, and I guess the GM for the 49ers, John Lynch, said that he is, quote, having good talks with Brandon Ayuk. And he said, I've communicated on multiple occasions or many occasions. Our wish is that he's here and part of the Niners for the rest of his career. Likelihood that Brandon Ayuk actually is remaining there, as you know, that we're in lying season and, you know, these contract communications aren't always what they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You think that Brandon Ayuk actually stays, or do you see him more moving on from the Niners at some point?
Depends on what the draft looks like for them. And seriously, mm-hmm. it's all about have they covered their bases, and we don't know that until after this weekend. So I'm going to say he'll probably be back, but I have no idea just yet.
Yeah, I think he gets moved.
I think so?
That, yeah, I think that he's asking for a level of money that I don't know that they're willing to pay.
But you know what? They may not pay it, and nobody else will either. That's very possible.
I think Brandon Ayuk is the type of player that a lot of teams have looked up and said, I'm willing to go there. But ultimately, you're right. Like, the draft is going to give you some level of insight into this, and we'll have to mm-hmm. see, because there's guys that you've thought that maybe that someone should go get, and they don't. And there's guys that you had no business making that move, and that's the human element.
It only
of
takes one.
The National Football League. That's right.
Yep,
that is a mantra in the NFL. It only takes one. It's the get right here mm-hmm. on 105 through the fan. I guess technically in 105 through. If we want to go through with a more metaphysical, anyways.
I know of 105 through the fan.
That's right. Appreciate you guys rolling with us on this Monday evening, this Earth Day here on 105.3 The Fan. Basketball's back going when it comes to the big game on the evening, Sixers-Knicks. That's a 5-point game that just starts the second half. We're in the second intermission between the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. That is still 2-1. And we are just awaiting that one ending so that we can get to the real party on this evening, which is Stars Golden Knights Game 1. We'll give you updates as much as we can here on 105 through the fan once the puck drops. Technically, it says 8:30, but
I say 8:52,
closer to 9, probably.
Closer
yes.
to 9.
Oh, we're putting this exactly 8:50. Do you have a guess, Ross? What time?
No, I'm going to guess like 9:20.
Oh, wow. You're going really wild with it. I will go 8:55 just to be in that same place, and we'll see when that puck yeah. actually drops. It's the Get Right here on 105 through the fan. Thanks for hanging out with us. Coming up next, on the G-Bag Nation, Chris Young joins them weekly, and today he had some interesting things to say after a 17 games and 17 day stretch. Let's revisit some of the things that he said and break it down. We'll do that next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!